lucky few podcast listeners and friends. We had so many incredible conversations in 2023. And before we kick off a new season in 2024, we're going to be throwing it back to some of our very favorite episodes from last year as we get excited to hit a milestone. Y'all, this is the year that we will hit our 1 millionth download. We're so close. We're just a few thousand away. Listeners, we are looking forward to another amazing season of shouting worth and shifting narratives for people with Down syndrome. From all of us here at the Lucky Few Podcast, thank you for your support and enjoy this throwback episode.
I'm going to take a bite of an almond.
Oh my gosh. That reminds me of that SNL skit when she's like needs energy and she's like, I need half an almond. Do you know what I'm talking about? She's like a Target. She's a Target. Register at Target.
Almond moms, probably.
Is there a thing called almond moms?
I feel like Mercedes, you would know.
it's like the skinny, it's like skinny hell's obsessed moms who will only let themselves hilarious. Eat like three almonds.
I feel like I'm sassy because I kind of clump those with bar moms, like not bar the exercise, like people who only have like a bar.
Oh yeah.
Oh, like for their whole lunch is like
yeah. I brought a bar.
A protein bar.
But I guess, but a lot of people do that. So if you do that, that's fine. It's just almost the equivalent of an almond to me. But what it really made me think of is, what is it? Bridesmaids, when she's like, Jordan almonds. She's like sweating profusely because they got food poisoning. She doesn't really want a Jordan almond. And the way she like says it and eats it, it's very funny. Do you remember that part?
I remember them being sick, but I don't remember the Jordan almond part.
I don't remember either, but it makes me laugh anyway.
It's a very funny part.
Oh, well, listeners, if you are a bar person, and you just eat protein bars for lunch, we're sorry for offending you.
I'll have my bar at lunch.
Here we go. Okay, ladies. Enough about this. Let's shout some worth and shift some narratives for people with Down syndrome. Today, we celebrate Mother's Day with a conversation about connecting with your child with Down syndrome. We know how important making meaningful connections with our kids is. So today we're talking all about nurturing those connections, what we're doing to develop the relationships with our kiddos, and so much more. Welcome to the Lucky Few Podcast.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, my ladies. It's Mother's Day. It's coming, the best day of the year. Put on your loungewear and stay in your bed. It's Mother's Day.
Oh my
gosh. It's Mother's Day. Let the kids bring you some coffee in bed and a flower arrangement and a new necklace.
That's it. That's the episode. Thank you for tuning in. Mother's Day. What do you guys normally do to celebrate Mother's Day?
Oh my gosh. That's your best one yet. I feel like I have two ways that I celebrate. Either I've planned ahead, I've got some girls together, and we're gone. Come the morning, we're out.
That's right.
Ooh.
See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. Out the door. Or I'm with the fam and we go to church and we do the lunch. And they give me a gift and it feels like they're all trying to be on their best behavior and like not look at me for direction, but semi kind of dance around me for direction. Yeah.
There you go. The best Mother's Day.
So I'm out this year. Wake up and get out the door.
The best way to celebrate Mother's Day is without your children.
It's to be gone.
Okay, so we're recording this episode ahead of time. This will come out after Mother's Day. So we've already celebrated however we did. And you guys, I often, both of my mother and mother-in-law live in the same city, which is close to me. So there is often like a let's all get together, which usually it's us hosting. And because we're like the neutral ground, although the other parents get along great. And then I just feel like, oh, I love my mother and mother-in-law, but I'm also a mom and it's also my day. And Josh is great at showing up, whatever. But this year we went to Disneyland.
Yay.
Good.
Because your favorite that's what we're place. Doing for Mother's Day.
Yay.
Yes.
That's right. And I'm going to eat a churro and I'm not going to share it.
Oh, totally. Is it filled?
A filled churro? Never. No way.
Never. I know. Mm-mm. Same. Andy likes his mm-mm. filled.
No, just a yeah, churro. You just need like a classic. Churros are
mm-hmm. a classic, warm,
yes.
extra, swipe it around extra in the sugar.
That's right. Extra sugar for this mama. And I'm going to go on my favorite rides and no one can stop
that
me.
Sounds wonderful.
So there you go. Try and stop me. Anyway.
Try and stop her. True. Mace. Right. Augie. You can't. I love that. I'm going to start planning now. My ideal is to be gone most of the day doing the things that I like and then come home to dinner.
Oh, I love that.
And so then the kids get to see me. You know, it's like kind of best of both worlds kind of a thing. But the key part while I still have the littles.
Before anybody grabs you, before you have to make anybody breakfast.
Is to get up and out the door. Before you gotta like get out while it's still like, oh my gosh, it's Mother's Day, you know, like I'm getting ready, I'm gonna go guys, I'm gonna do something for myself and I'll be back for dinner, like it. Yeah, woo, you know.
Yeah,
but if you try and like sleep in and then it's like 10 when you're getting out, you're like hitting a real witching hour before like, do I step in for lunch? Are you guys still going to go to church even though I'm not here? What are you doing, Andy? I've stepped on your toes. I've lingered too long.
Yep. You got it. You got this figured out.
Take it from me. Hear me. Yep. So I'm excited. I'll probably go on a hike, maybe go shopping.
Beautiful.
Definitely get a luncheon, a brunchin, you know. And then I'll be back, y'all. Have dinner ready.
This is living the Mother's Day dream.
Yeah, we'll see how this goes.
We're going to have to report back. Make sure you – we're going to have to report back on social media.
I hope so. Again, we're recording this ahead of time. So can I
– well
– I have all this attitude. I have all this empowered attitude. But we'll see what happens.
I love it. It's so funny.
So great. How about you, Micah?
We've talked about this before that I always was in California, far from all the mothers of my life. And now I'm on the East Coast where my mother-in-law is a couple of hours south of us. And then my stepmother-in-law is like an hour north. And it's still just my day. We just kind of hang around our house. And I always on Mother's Day get to stay in bed a little longer. I have a husband who has some pretty passionate skills with his coffee making. And now he has been deeply embracing his espresso machine. So I have a... I'm sure I will get a cappuccino in my bed and have some fiction reading time in bed before I have to get up. But this year, we will be going to my father-in-law's and stepmother-in-law's house because they are moving after having their house they've been in for almost 30 years. It's been on up for sale for years and finally sold. And it's been like a quick turnaround, like trying to get out of the house and everybody like, you know, giving like, you know, the whole thing where they're downsizing and all the kids are like, who wants this bed and who wants the piano and all of that stuff. Let me know if you want the piano. Just kidding, Heather. I'm getting the piano. Yes. We're going to Mother's Day there. It'll be like one of the last big hurrahs at their house before they move out. So that'll be
That is a big deal. Yeah.
A big family moment. Yeah.
Oh, I'm feeling so many feelings about this.
I know.
My grandma's house, my grandma was born in the house that she lived in for 99 years.
Oh.
And then my parents.
That is wild.
My parents live in the house that I grew up in my whole life, still live there. And the thought of it's like letting a person.
Yeah,
it's like
it is. It is.
Person. It's really, it's a lot. It's really heavy.
It is. It is. And it's, I think it's like, my father-in-law, I think he's been so ready to, like, it's felt too big for them. They've been ready to go for a while, but I think the kids were all like, oh. So it's going to be, it's more of a loss for all the kids than for them. But yeah, lots of feelings.
That's how I hope this house will be for my kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll be sad. Like, I'm like, you guys, we've got to move on. They're like, no, my childhood.
Yeah.
You need to be strong. That's funny. You need to be strong.
So that'll be our Mother's Day. Goodbye, Mother's
That's
Day.
That's really sweet, Micah.
Yeah. Yeah, and hopefully it'll be warm enough to swim. Because they have a pool. It'll be like the last swim, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was probably just kind of getting warmed up, huh? They heat it, too?
They do heat it. So
nice.
Ace will get in no matter what. We'll make it.
Yeah. That's how Sunflower is, no matter what.
Yeah.
Purple lips and all.
Yes, totally.
Even when it's not. Okay, you guys, before we get started, I have a review to read from Mary S. She says, I look forward to spending my mornings with these three incredible mamas. I'm so grateful for their honesty and for shouting the worth of our kiddos with DS. Thank you. I'm so excited to share the morning with you, Mary S. Okay, friends, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. We love hearing from you.
Okay. I'm so glad there's people out there who like spending the mornings with us. I hope that we're warm and inviting, like their cup of coffee or their tea, and that we're not too loud for them when they're just waking up. Can we just calm down? Can you guys just calm down a little bit? It's morning somewhere.
Yes, we should caption that on our episodes. This would be best listened to.
After
at night,
noon.
In the morning, midday.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Okay, so we've been bantering about Mother's Day, but this is really an episode about connecting with our children with Down syndrome, and I like this topic. It's a different way of thinking about what it means to invest in our relationships with our kids with Down syndrome, who maybe connect in different ways than our kids who don't have Down syndrome. And I think especially for maybe the parents out there whose kids are younger, who are still in baby or toddler stages, I think it's really good to start thinking about what it looks like when what you think of as connection maybe is going to look different with your children with Down syndrome than what you think it might look like. So this is my question for you guys. I have a question for you. What ways has nurturing your connection with your children with Down syndrome been different from nurturing your connections with your able-bodied or your neurotypical child or children? And how has it been the same?
Mm-hmm. I will take a stab at this first. It's been so different, and so different with Mason and August, who both have Down syndrome, but they're so different. It's interesting as humans, and it makes sense that for me, I think this is just human nature, we connect with what we know, and there's a sense of like projecting onto other people, right? Like you find like quick instant connections oftentimes with people who respond to the world the same way that you do, or who lean the same direction that you do. Like there's that natural human reaction to connecting. And then you have a kid who maybe doesn't like anything that you like, or is interested in things that you're not curious about, and you have to learn to be curious about it. And then there's this aspect of communication. And like August, I can sit down with August and we can just talk about anything. And he has things he wants to talk about, and we'll go on like a picnic together, and he asks questions and he answers my questions, and we connect in that way. And then if I hang out one-on-one with Macy, there's very little talking happening, partly because of where she's at with her language, and also because that's just not how she connects. She's not a talker. Like language aside, that's just not how she connects. But also stringing 5 or 6 words together is still something that she works on. Like that's still a skill that she's building. And so then it's different. Like Josh and I will joke, like I'll take out August and then he's hanging out with Mason, and I'm like, August talked nonstop the whole time. And Josh is like, I think in an hour and a half, Mason and I said 10 words to each other, you know, like she's fine just sitting there. And that is something that I still, even like 14 and a half years in with Macy, I still have to learn and recognize that, as Mike likes to talk about a lot, like the slowing down and just the beauty and the goodness in connecting in a way that I'm not used to connecting. It's such a practice for me, right? Like, or an opportunity for me to like, we don't have to be talking about a bunch of things. She doesn't have to like to go shopping. She doesn't have to want to get her nails, and she doesn't have to do all these things the ways that I feel best connecting. That's not how she connects. What an invitation for me to slow down, to step back, and to lean in to who she is in all of her goodness as she is, right? Like, it's not about she needs to be more like me so that I feel like I can connect with her. It's me getting an opportunity, right? Like to grow in my understanding of all the different ways to be human, including my little Macy. Does that make sense? Do you resonate with that at all?
Yeah, I absolutely do. Go ahead, Mercedes.
My boys are also my talkers. They can talk all day. And Sunflower, it's funny because I've never noticed it. I guess I got to count it, but I think I'm such a talker. And then we get very little moments of just like one-on-one time, and it's something I want to incorporate more. But the boys go to an in-person class Tuesday, Thursdays, and I get to hang out with Sunflower and Brave. And I definitely think I'm leading the conversations and Sunny will answer, but we get to do a lot of, we have similar interests. So we draw a lot. We will like paint a lot together. We go on walks together. She's just kind of easy peasy for me to connect with because she's easy to like bake with right now. And we'll start seeing her favorite Disney Zombies music together. We'll go shopping. I don't know. It's interesting because I actually think she's my easiest one to connect with. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's because I'm always so hard-eyed because she's my only girl. Do you know what I mean? Like, I wonder. But we have similar interests, and it's easy. like she likes to ride her bike. We ride bikes together. I don't know. She's easier for me. And she likes to play basketball. That's where almost like the disconnect happens. I'm like, okay, how long are we going to play basketball together? How long do I have to toss the ball? You know, which are also the ways that my boys want to connect. And so I'm such a girl's girl and a girly girl that I love hanging out with Sunflower and I find it easy. And then with my boys, I'm like, okay, I have to like really gear up and be like, okay, what are we playing? Trucks. All right. You know, so for Sunflower, I feel, I don't know, like I get that aspect because she's not a talker, but I feel like, yeah, like we connect really well. It's really easy because we have very similar interests is what I'm saying. We have very similar interests.
That makes a lot of sense. Macy doesn't want to bake or color or draw or paint or go on hike. Like there's a lot of things I want to do. Macy wants to listen to music and dance, which I also like to do. But that's it. Like
for time limit. Not a time limit, but
yeah. So there's like the language piece with Mason, but there's also we don't have a lot of similar interests. She doesn't want to go shopping with me. She doesn't want to get her nails done. She doesn't want to go out to coffee. She doesn't want, like, she's not interested in any of that. And so it is, and partly it's her teenage brain. I mean, Micah, you've got teenage boys. Part of it is like, I think a lot of teenagers are sitting on their beds listening to music or on their phones or playing video games. That's all they want to do. They don't want to connect in any other way. So we're in the teenage space too, but she's never been one that wants to do the things that I want to do or even like the stereotypical ways of a parent connecting with a child, like baking. Let's go cook together. Let's go. You know, like as a stay-at-home mom, like, let's go do these tasks together that this is what we do when you have a kid at home and you're a mom. Mason's never been interested in that. So it's been, it's been different with my little Mace. Just got to put on some music.
My boys always want to play Pokemon Battle.
It's so hard.
And I feel like a real scrub because I'm like,
I can't play Pokemon
with you.
Mercedes, we went through Pokemon.
Did you do it
in the early years? And that was
were you good? I feel like I need to die to myself and just play with them because that's a connecting point, but I don't know how to. I just say no.
It's just like there's too many details. And I was like, Lord help me, I can't support you guys in this one.
And they evolve, like there's like energies. I'm like, I don't know, guys. I'm already semi-good with games. Now this is way more complicated. I'm proud of you for actually knowing this stuff, you guys. Can we use this elsewhere? This kind of know-how. Anyways, yes.
It's tricky. There's I was looking for this a second ago. I don't know how many months ago. The author, Shauna Nyquist, wrote on her Instagram some quote about parenting that was like, you know, the best parenting advice she ever got was, you know, find what your child is most passionate about and just lean into that, like, you know, get passionate about that as well, or, you know, it was something like that. And I think that's amazing advice. And I think there's ways to do it and there's ways that it's really hard to do it. And so I think in some ways, connecting with Ace is the simplest parenting I get to do because what he needs for me is just the least complicated. Like, yes, it's like, there's a lot of complexities to parenting him in terms of his needs and what I, you know, probably ought to be doing, it, you know, blah, blah, blah. But he, in terms of just like love and connection, what he needs from me is very physical. And the way that he shows love and the way that he needs to receive love is like, at this point, he wants me to jump on the trampoline with him. He wants me to help him do the zip line in the backyard. He wants to sing songs, and there's like, I know the songs that will make him laugh. And if I sing songs, you know, that in one particular way, it'll get the giggles going. There's just like the particular things that I can do with him that show him that I will give him time and that he matters to me. And my older boys, their needs are much more complicated. And so like they are figuring out what they're passionate about and then learning to love those things can be really hard. Like my oldest son is passionate about film, and he's passionate about like film. Like I can't even get my head around these directors that he's talking to me about and the things that he wants to watch that I am trying to, you know, do the research on and be like, no, I don't think so, sir. But I will let him watch, but I don't want to watch because I am too anxious for the stress of whatever it is that he's going to watch. I can't handle watching stressful things. So there's things that I would love to be connecting with him over, but I really can't watch all the artsy stressful films that he wants to watch because they make me too anxious. And then there's, of course, the video game piece where like every once in a while I will play video games with my boys, but I literally cannot turn around. Like I cannot make these characters turn. I only know how to play Super Mario Brothers where they just go in a straight line. I'm like, wait, guys, like how do I face forward? And I'm still just staring at the like ground. My characters, they're like, Mom, just give us the controls. So connecting like over conversation is something that I have found ways to for both my teenage boys, or like Brooksie's still a preteen, but they both want to talk before bed, and like making those times a priority where I still tuck Brooks in, we talk about his day then, how he's feeling. With August, he goes to bed after I do, but he comes in and lays down next to me and we talk while I'm trying not to fall asleep. It's like I find that it feels more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I wish that I could just connect with them by snuggling, which is my other high level connection with Ace, when he just comes and gets in bed with me and we hug for 30 mm-hmm. minutes and laugh and tickle.
There's so much of it is just parenting in general. Like I think about the story of the parent who is a sports fanatic and their oldest is a son who is an artist, right? Like yes, totally. That you have to give up expectations right. of who you want your child to be. And then, like you said, learn about what it is they yeah. like and do your best to connect with it. And be available to them in the areas that they have interest. So part of it is just like parenting. You know, like if we were going to give advice to a new parent about connecting with their child with Down syndrome or a child who is nonverbal, sometimes it's so funny how it just leans over into just parenting advice in general, you know, like try to step yeah. out of your expectations yeah. that may be unrealistic and step toward your child mm-hmm. as they are, mm-hmm. Down syndrome or not. But what advice would you have specifically if they have a child, no matter what age, with Down syndrome, who is less verbal, who isn't going to sit and have a conversation, or a child who might have difficulty expressing wants and needs? Do you have advice for parents in that situation when it comes to connecting?
I think because Sunflower is not very verbal at all. Like she's 10 now and she's saying a lot more, but I would say it's taken a long time for us to get there. I think what's helped me is being comfortable leading the conversations, and like Terry Brown has taught me, asking yes or no questions. And then also when I'm conversing with Sunflower and I feel like it's getting kind of quiet, I like to bring up the things that I know light her up, like Disney zombies, like, ooh, we should watch that soon. Is your favorite character still Zed? I think just reiterating back to her what I see she really enjoys, and then she gets to jump in on that. So I feel like there was a time where I'm like, oh, I just want to know her. I want to know her. I want to know her. And not realizing that I did know her. Maybe I don't know what she dreamt about or other little things, but like I gave up that expectation and I realized how much I do know about her and that she hasn't shared, but I just know because I experience with her, because I know her whole life, you know, like I can know what brings her joy and I can know what maybe frustrated her that day, and I could bring language to that and she gets to rest and just gets to agree, kind of a thing, you know. I switched my mindset and then also incorporated more yes or no questions. And then Sunflower will speak about things and I feel like I elongate that, you know, like I go off of that and then put more words to it. And it doesn't feel like, it doesn't feel weird. It doesn't feel like a one-sided conversation. It feels like I'm helping her fill in the gaps so that we can connect and converse, I think. So I don't know, being okay with leading the conversation and using other cues for communication with your child.
Yeah, I love that, Mercedes. I think there's that sense of, like, I think that as you enter into this world where your children are not as verbal as the rest of the world and as what you maybe expected, you find out that communication can look a lot different and it can still be communication. And so you start to look for all the communication cues that exist, and, you know, also learning how to give your child opportunities to communicate, and learning from the therapists in your life how to use PECs, which are, you know, images that they are able to use to show you what they want, or an AAC device on the iPad, or all of the things that are available. But I think too, the biggest things for me are just knowing Ace and knowing what lights him up. And so just this week, there's a song that's been in my head that is just like this, you know, it has a space for so-and-so likes to play. And I've been saying Ace's name likes to play all day. And then I've been putting in the names of his friends at school that I know. And it is cracking him up. So I've been going through each, like, you know, it's like when he's sitting on the potty and I'm like, it says, hey, so-and-so, come play with me. And so I'll just say, hey, Emily, come play with me. And he is laughing every time I say one of the names of the kids at school. And, it, you know, it's just that kind of stuff. Like, we know our kids. We know who they care about. And that is a way he's telling me, too. Like, yes, I know that kid at school. And I really like to play with them. And you know that I know them. And that's a significant connection.
That's so good. I'll say this about communication and connecting. It's interesting, and maybe it's ableism and maybe it's something else. Maybe it's human nature. Maybe, I don't know. We can all decide together right now. It's interesting how much we believe, even if it's not spoken about, how important it is to be able to verbally connect with people. And I think about my kids in school or when they're little, and how I'll go to volunteer in the class, and you know, and then the kids the peers will come to me and be like, how come August doesn't talk? Or how come Macy doesn't talk? Does she know? Like, they just assume that there's, that they don't know or understand something and that they can't connect, right? Like, there's this assumption that because you don't communicate verbally, we cannot, there is no space for connection. Do you guys see that at all with peers or other people who don't know your kids or don't know Down syndrome or don't know what it like to love someone, know someone who doesn't communicate verbally, right? So then I think how much of that is ableism and just in a parent's journey, that we also have to undo that ourselves. And I'm just thinking of a parent and maybe my past self, and maybe you guys can relate to this, feeling frustrated because I wanted my parenting and my connection to my child to look a certain way. And it doesn't look that way. And maybe largely in part to the fact that my child's diagnosed with Down syndrome, therefore there's these certain characteristics that I don't know how to relate to. And there's like a frustration there. And we've talked about the more how there's grief and mourning in a diagnosis that is cyclical and doesn't just end. It finds us at different moments in our lives and how we live in a society, in a world that's telling us in order to connect with someone, they need to be and you need to be A, B, C, and D. And that's not happening with our kids with Down syndrome. And just how in my journey of being Macy and Augie's mom, there's been so much undoing. I know I say that a lot, but it's just the word that makes the most sense, of ideas that weren't helpful for me as a human existing in the world and then as a parent. And I'm just so grateful for the journey. So I think I'm saying to the parents, if anyone can relate, like, it's okay to feel bad or sad or like, this is hard and this isn't what I wanted it to be. That's okay to feel that way. Like, I'm sad that I don't connect to my child in the certain way that I was hoping to connect to my child. I think it's okay to feel that and to say that out loud and to know that that's not the end of the journey. Because you get to move past it. Mercedes, you were saying it, like, you shifted your way of thinking, you know, and you realized, oh, I know Sunny. I know her. She doesn't have to tell me about her dream that she had last night for me to know. Would that be nice? Yeah, sure. But that you know her, like, we get to know our kids. And I have these moments literally every day with both my kids and especially with Mace in this season where she's just like being herself sitting in a room. And I look at her and just think, I can't believe that I get to know how to love you with all that I am, because you are so different. And we're in a world that has said who you are is not good, but I get to see past that and love you with all that I am. And that like fierce, deep connection that exists because she is my daughter and I am her mom, it already is there. And it's beautiful. And I just could never express how grateful I am for it as a parent, for this journey and all the ups and downs.
I feel like, Heather, what you were saying kind of sparked something inside me, because we've had lots of moments of that where Sunflower is very physically capable. But and then like friends want to play and then she kind of shuts down because she's not verbally very strong, like verbalizing, communicating, socializing, like that is not her strong suit. So she shies away from it. And I've noticed even when I even did my own shifting or even Andy doing his own shifting with how to like relate with Sunflower, how much confidence is required of myself, how much confidence is required of Andy, or how much confidence is required of a peer to lead that situation or to be okay in the awkwardness or to be okay and to keep trying if Sunflower looks like shuts down. It's just interesting when I meet or it stands out and it's a blessing. I shouldn't say interesting. It's such a blessing when I get to have a play date or meet kids at the park organically or at the beach organically, and they just can be themselves regardless of how Sunflower's being and decide to still connect with her. You know, it just takes so much confidence that I think as humans, we like to feed off of each other to gauge our confidence, to gauge what to say next, to gauge is what I'm saying relatable, what, you know, it can be awkward. And we use so much of social cues for those things, and how that is not the normal social cues aren't there all the time when you're interacting with a person with a disability. So you have to kind of have self-confidence in that and be okay to say, I'm going to lead this, or okay, I'll brush that off if they kind of shut me out, or, you know. And it's just interesting. It is a lot of undoing and also personal growth.
Right. Definitely. Micah, anything you want to add?
I think that there's just these images of that at work all the time in our lives. And, you know, I think of my two older boys in this very typical, they have this typical brother relationship with each other. I have a typical mother relationship with them. They are entering teenagehood very typically, you know, like all of those things. Last night, they finished dinner early or before I ace, and they ran outside to wrestle on the trampoline, and Ace was like shoving food in his mouth, watching them wrestle, like trying to get out there. And he finally finished, and I was like, okay, you can go. And he ran out there and he got on the trampoline, and nothing changed in terms of their wrestling, except for Ace just started running in circles around them. Like, he was just so happy, you know, like he was so happy to be there with them. Yeah. They continued wrestling the same, and he was doing what he does and they were doing what they do. And every once in a while he will jump in on something like that and they will carefully include him. But I feel like that's an image of what we have. Like he is a part of that trio of brothers, and he has his role and he has his way of engaging, and they have their connection and the way that they connect with each other. And then they have their way that they connect with Ace individually and the way that they connect as a threesome. And, you know, it's just like this really, it's a beautiful thing. And it's also just different than the world. It's like they're never going to look like the three brothers in a like, it's not A River Runs Through It, the other movie, I don't know, but you know, that one three brother movie,
the three brothers in that movie. Yeah,
the one I'm thinking of. Come on, everybody, read my mind. The other one with Brad Pitt. But that's, you know, it's what we have is beautiful, and what all of us are invited to is beautiful. It's the way that we find our way through it, and it's how we all learn how to be together, and it's how we learn how to connect with each other. And sometimes our kids connect by running around the circle, and sometimes they connect by being in the middle of it. Yeah. And yeah,
we're just so dang lucky to get to connect with a person with Down syndrome, however it might look.
That's right.
I hope that everyone had a lovely Mother's Day, the mothers out there, and let us know. We'd love to hear back from you over the Lucky Few Pod Instagram, or you can email hello at the Lucky Few Podcast, the ways that you're connecting with your child with Down syndrome and that how that journey's been for you, because we love hearing from you. But before we head out, and in this episode, we're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with some good news. So think about what you're celebrating, ladies. Podcast listeners, say it with me. I am a really good mom. That's right. You're a really good mom. I'm a really good mom. We need to say it together. 1, 2, 3. I am a really good mom. The truth is, we know that you doubt this, because I doubt this, because moms can doubt this truth about themselves. So guess what we've done? We put it on a shirt. so that you, and let's be honest, really your kids, never forget. Hopefully your kid or significant other already bought you this shirt for Mother's Day, but guess what? If they haven't, you are a really good mom who can actually go buy a thing for yourself, including this shirt. Or you can ask for it for your birthday, or hey, buy it for your mom too, and you guys can have matching shirts. It's really perfect. We know motherhood can be so hard, but guess what? You're doing a good job. Head over to theluckyfew.co, use code podcast for 10% off your order. We also have over there a Lucky Mamas shirt and a Lucky Mamas hat. We know Mother's Day is over, but you can still get that gift that you wanted. Head to theluckyfew.co, code podcast for 10% off. Hey, listener, mom, you're a really good mom. All right, we are back, and it's time for... Whoa, that was bad. Go ahead, Micah. I'm just going to try to take it from you, and I shouldn't have done it. Go.
Oh, it's okay. It's Mother's Day, and it's time for good news on a Mother's Day celebration day. Okay.
That's all right.
Thanks. That's okay. That's not the worst. Not the best.
Okay, I will...
Should have left it to Heather.
I'll go first. A few weeks ago, when this comes out, but just a few days ago when we're recording this, we're in Washington, D.C., on the Capitol, meeting with our Congress people and our senators, our representatives, and we had a meeting with one of the staffers for Alex Padilla, who is a senator in California, and sat in a circle. We had other Californians in the room and some people with Down syndrome, and everyone went around and talked, all the people with Down syndrome talked about the legislation that we were pushing for that and why it was important. And both Macy, August, and True all showed up totally genuine themselves. Mason, it was like, my name, head down, right? Like, my name's Macy. I'm 14. I don't know. And then that was it. Like, that was great, Mace. And then August is like, my name's August. I'm 9. I live in Redlands, California. I had heart surgery. And then tells his like eloquent story about his heart surgery and why his life matters. And we're like, who is this kid? And then True Star like reads a poem basically that like this spoken word about how her siblings' voices matter. And these other two men in the room, Dashiell and Brandon, who have Down syndrome, talk about like as self-advocate. And it was just this, I guess the good news is watching people with Down syndrome, watching my three kids in a like the Capitol building in our nation's capital, talking to a staffer for our senator about like policies that affect Down syndrome and why it's important and why we want them to join in. It was cool. I cried, if anyone wanted to know. I just sat there with like tears. It was so fun to watch everyone just show up authentically themselves. It was great.
That's so cool.
That's my good news. Mercedes, Micah, you got any good news?
I do. Ace just had his birthday party and he turned 8. And we invited his class, his general ed second grade class. And about 10 kids were able to come from his class.
Amazing.
And it's been just a cool year to see how we were able to go from convincing his school to try inclusion with him and just see how much he's thrived in it this year and see how much it's meant to the students in his class and see these kids show up for his birthday. It's been pretty special. So, good news.
I love it.
Great news. I have some good news from a listener. Trisha Deanne Romero says, my son Cruz is counting to 10 and he sounds so cute.
Oh, Cruz.
I love that. Awesome.
I love it. So fun.
Okay, friends, we have to wrap it up, and I have some fun news and a nice little coupon code for you all. So listen up. Friends, head over to theluckyfew.co to get your narrative shifting gear and use code podcast to get 10% off. Do it right now. I love this. This was new to me.
This is new in the script. Go shop at thelucky.co. Do it. Go. And thanks, Josh Avis, for editing this episode, and Ashley Fracolosi for producing it. And if you like this episode, share it with all of your family and friends.
Don't forget to subscribe. And what else? Let's see. Check out theluckyfewpodcast.com for show notes and all the things we talked about today.
And be sure to follow us on social media at The Lucky Few Pod. And listeners, you are slaying it. We love you. We're cheering you on. And we can't wait to be back together again next week. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Micah, I'm looking to you, girl.
Okay, Josh, you know what to do. Just take that little awkward. You just gotta sometimes you gotta get those awkward moments. You gotta deal with that.
Gap that.